God's people say amen in his house, will you? We'll break the ice and get the thing started. Go ahead and sit down. I want to tell you, around Christmas time, we sometimes pass the offering boxes around, and this year they said, hey, man, set them on the tables, let them come down. So that's kind of what we're going to do this year, and I'll explain that as we go. We got a video for you about the wise men. So turn with me in your Bibles in Matthew chapter 2. And after we get done with the video, I'll come back up here and I'll preach on this Christmas message, if you will. And I think you're going to find this message very challenging and maybe help you with your perspective. Maybe 2020 has been pretty rough on you. Maybe you've went through some things and there's some hospitalizations and the different things, and maybe we're even missing some of our loved ones who we so love. I'm going to go ahead and read this, and then I'm going to come back to it. It says in 2:11 in Matthew, it says, "And going into the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they fell down and worshipped him. Then opening their treasures, they offered him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh." So we're going to come back to this. Let's drop the house lights down all the way. We'll roll the video, and I hope that you'll enjoy this.
Now, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we saw his star when it rose, and have come to worship him." When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And assembling all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. They told him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for so it is written by the prophet, 'And you, O Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For from you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel.'" Then Herod summoned the wise men secretly and ascertained from them what time the star had appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, "Go and search diligently for the child, and when you have found him, bring me word that I too may come and worship him." After listening to the king, they went on their way, and behold, the star that they had seen when it rose went before them, until it came to rest over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy, and going into the house, they saw the child with Mary his mother, and they fell down and worshipped him. Then, opening their treasures, they offered him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. And being warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they departed to their own country by another way.
All right, amen. So let me set the stage for you. And what we'll do is we'll just do the stage lights for right now. And I want to talk to you a little bit about the offering. So we're blessed in 2020. There's a lot of ways that people give. Some people mail in, some people give on the internet, some people do text-a-tithe and all these different things. You write checks, and it's all good, and we want everybody to be part of that. So this Christmas, we just thought that would be just kind of symbolic and just kind of keep us in the Christmas mode, that we're bringing our gifts to the Lord. And when you give, that's what you need to know, that you're giving to be part of God's kingdom, to expand his kingdom, to support the work that's going on here at Have Bible Will Travel. So I'm going to pray ahead of time for your offering. And if you feel led, like let's say you text a tithe, you and you just want to put that on the envelope and you want to be part of the offering, you just say, man, I want to bring my offering forward, and you put that on an envelope or whatever, however God's working on your heart. We want you to participate if that's what God's put on your heart. So let me pray for that, and then you guys, as you feel led, you want to come up and drop your offering off here at the in one of these Christmas boxes, that would be great. And then I'm going to be preaching about this in Matthew chapter 10, or chapter 2, verses 10 and 11. So let me pray for the offering here now. So, Father God, we just pray for the offering and all the people that are here, all the people that are on live stream, all the people who are participating, and ask that they would be blessed. And, Father God, that not only would the offering be blessed, and the families be blessed, Father God, I pray that your kingdom is blessed and you find it acceptable in your sight. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So if you feel led, go ahead at this time to bring your offering down. Now, Matthew chapter 2, verse 10, it says, when they saw the star, they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. And going into the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they fell down and worshiped him. Then opening the treasures, they offered him gifts. Listen to this, class. Gold and frankincense and myrrh. Let me say that again. Gold, frankincense, and myrrh. So we know that the gold is a kingly gift. It's a king's gift. The frankincense is something that was offered on the altar with all the offerings in the Old Testament. And myrrh is something that they used as anointing oil. So these gifts are very important. They're very symbolic to our Lord and Savior and for our Lord and Savior Jesus. Now, when we go back and look at this, and if you remember the video, these wise men, and a lot of times people, and you can turn the house lights back up too, thank you. A lot of people think that these people were kings. They weren't necessarily kings, but were wise men. And they came from afar, and we believe that they came from Babylon, and they came to the house where Jesus lived. And we believe that these wise men did not come to the manger, but they actually came to the house where Jesus was maybe as old as 2 years old. So I don't mean to wreck your nativity scene, but they actually came and Jesus was already born. He could have been as old as 2 years of age. Now watch this. So this is where the story gets interesting. So they all come because of the prophecy. There would be a star over Bethlehem, and the Christ child would be there in his house. So here's what it says. It says, when they saw the star, what does it say, class? They rejoiced exceedingly with what? With great joy. Now, I got to let you know that your PlayStation can't bring you great joy. Your Christmas gifts, as wonderful as they are, cannot bring you great joy. Your money cannot bring you great joy. What happens when you get a new PlayStation or a new toy or a new whatever it is? It can make you happy for a while. But then the new car smell or the all that, the credit card payments come, and then the happiness goes away. These wise men were very wise. They got excited over a star in the sky. I ask you and I ask your family, when's the last time you walked outside and got excited about God's kingdom? As quiet as the last service was. God is looking for people who are wise that start getting excited about what God puts in the sky. Stars, trees, birds, blue sky, breathing air on your own. He wants you to be excited and take that excitement that you learn about here and take it out to a lost and dying world and say your happiness isn't going to come from a political party. Your happiness is not going to come from a PlayStation. Your happiness is not going to come from a new gift, a new truck, a new car, a new guy, a new girl. Remember that when you thought if you could, aren't you glad? Thank God for unanswered prayers. Oh, look at me for a minute. Some of you ladies go, if I could just get that hunk of man candy, my life would be great. And then you see him 10 years later, like, oh my gosh, thank God he didn't answer that prayer. Will somebody elbow somebody here? Listen. Oh, we see, God wants you to have Mr. Right and not Mr. Right Now. Amen. If I could just have him. Amen. He wants you to get excited like the wise men over the star that's in the sky. Because that was a prophecy, and God's prophecies always come true, and then there lies the baby king. Amen. So they go down to the house, and they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they fell down and worshiped him. And then they opened their gifts, and I told you about those gifts. I want you to close your eyes for just a second. Let's just take you back to the birth of Christ in the manger, and I'll go Christmas on you before Christmas. If you could get, watch this class, if you could get to the manger, where would you be? Would you be the one that's in the back? Or would you be the one that's up front? Would you be the one that's is kind of poking your head around and you're pushing the sheep and the cows out of the way and everything and say, I need to see Jesus. I need to see the baby king. I need to see the Savior. God's asking you today to push all the material things out of the way. Because he wants himself to be first in your life today. He doesn't want to take a back seat to all the things that are going on in your life and all the people that you think you want and all the things that you want. God said, I want to be first in your life. Seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these things will be added unto you. Amen. Let's pray for the message today. Put your hands on your Bibles. Heavenly Father, we pray as we get into your Scripture today that you have a special word for us, a timely word. And we believe, Lord God, in this message that we believe that the power of the Holy Spirit is going to overshadow sickness, is going to overshadow disease, is going to overshadow despair. It's going to overshadow mental illness. It's going to overshadow cancer. Your word's going to overshadow COVID-19. We give you glory for these promises in Jesus' name. Amen. Turn with me into Galatians chapter 4, verses 4 and 5 is where the Christmas message comes from. So I want to talk to you about perspective today. So maybe your perspective has been skewed by the virus, by the political landscape. Maybe 2020 has just been a real, let's just say it's been a real stinker for you. Can we say stinker or a booger? My mom used to call it a booger. It was a real booger. So the way we change our perspective is a viewpoint. So if I want my viewpoint to change, I have to change my view, or may have to change my landscape. You know, in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 33, it says, bad company corrupts good morals. So all it takes for the enemy to worm his way into your life is just get around somebody that is continually singing, somebody done me wrong song. Remember that song by B.J. Thomas? It let me feel at home while I miss my baby. The devil would love it if you would allow that person into your life so he could yank you down a little bit. You were intended to bring them up, but after a while, he started pulling you, or she started pulling you back down, and your perspective got a little tainted. Maybe you think everything's bad. Maybe you think everything is gloom and doom. Debbie and Donnie Doomsday, they're out there everywhere, singing the same song they were singing at the beginning of the year. Here's what I'm saying today. It don't matter how you start. It matters how you finish. And we're believing today that God's going to give us a fresh perspective. Amen. And you know, a lot of times in the media, we have lost people through the pandemic, and it's horrible. We have lost friends. But I don't think we celebrate about all the people that God has healed and spared. And I was looking out in the hallways at all our wonderful seniors that are here today that God has healed. So we thank you for being here today. God bless you all that have survived the pandemic that we know as COVID-19. So perspective, we're going to change our viewpoint. So here it is. Starting out in chapter 4, verses 4 through 5, it says, "But when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who are under the law so that we might receive adoption as sons." Let's concentrate and let's drill down on the message that God has for us in the Apostle Paul's addressing the church in Galatia. The fullness of time has come. So at this point in time, God thought it noteworthy that he finally sent his son, Jesus, to be born of a virgin, became fully man right there in the manger. This little baby, you know, I think that's kind of crazy when you think about this young lady named Mary. As a virgin, she births a child, and as she's looking into the face of the child, she's looking into the face of God. That's a powerful message. She's looking at this baby as fully human and fully God at the same time. And here's what you need to know. The lesson is today, God can be all things to all people at all times. And it's important to know that Mary was the mother of Jesus. Watch this. But she's not the mother of God. Mary's the mother of Jesus, but she's not the mother of God. Because God always was and always will be, and there's no beginning for God. Amen. So the fullness of time, he sends his son Jesus. Let's talk about being sent. Well, what's up in heaven? It's a place of bliss. It's a place where the streets are made of gold. It's a place where there's no more tears. There's no more sorrow. There's no pandemic. In heaven, I said. So think about this. So Jesus left his place on high to come down here to save you and I from sin. Amen. And I was trying to get my head wrapped around it. And this is how God speaks to me. Why would Jesus leave a place like heaven to come down here in a sin-riddled world? Well, he said, picture yourself at Quick Trip. Me. There's no reason to leave there. There's really, if you're a dude, like when you go there for a break, if you're out in the construction world and you're there for a break and you go there and you get your coffee and you know, all the food groups are at Quick Trip. Coffee and the things that are rolled up on the griddle there. And I don't know why they label them like, this is chicken and this is meat. And you're like, no, it's not. But I'm eating it anyways. Amen. I mean, like, they're, oh, this is the chicken deluxe or this is the meat. No, it's not. It's all the same. It all comes out of the same tube. You just wrapped it in a burrito flour and I love it and that settles it. Amen.
Let's get back to leaving. Don't need to leave Quick Trip. It's got the coffee, Slim Jims, and everything else that I need. Even ice cream. And speaking of that last night, I almost fell into the temptation. I told you about my lust issues. Ice cream is at the top of the list. Right before I went to bed, I don't know why I'm saying this, but God prompted me to do this. Right before I go to bed, I ate 3 bowls of cereal. And you should do this. Yeah, it's... Oh, I'm not prejudiced. They all fit right in the bowl. You just get them all. They're like friends. You know, somebody came to my house one time. They thought I was joking. They go, oh, Vicky, you wasn't lying. See, when I sit down on the couch, I like to have them all around me. I got Doritos. I got Cheez-Its. And they're all my friends. I love them all equally. I gotta get off of this stuff. But this is how I think. So I tell you all this because I was trying to justify why I should get out of bed and watch this and eat some more. But the flesh was fighting the spirit man. And he said, you stepped on the scale yesterday. There's no reason for you to do anything except step on the treadmill when you get up. And God's people said amen. Amen. So back to the message, when the fullness of time had come. So you go, oh, well, that's just so silly. You know, this sin, that sin, or whatever. Sin is sin. And God sent his son for big sin, little sin, however you look at sin. But God judges sin as sin. It's all wrongdoing. It'll be counted against you. And we're going to open this up here and tell me if this makes sense today. This is a message, I think, that goes out everywhere and it's going to touch all lives today. The fullness of time had come. God had sent forth his son, born of a woman, born under the law. So the New Testament or the New Covenant hadn't been laid out yet. We've heard about it. They heard about it, but it didn't come into effect yet. So everybody was under the law, and under the law, you were required to be perfect. You were called to keep the Ten Commandments and all the rest of the commandments of the Old Testament. You say, Pastor, that's impossible. Nobody could do that. You're exactly right. That's why Jesus came. So he could deliver us from a curse. He became a curse for us and died as the ultimate sacrifice. So all those sins won't be counted against us. We could be perfect in God's sight through the lens of his son, Jesus Christ. Amen. Now say Merry Christmas. So it's a perfect plan, and let me spell it out to you this way. He sent forth his son, Jesus. We know he's born in a manger. We'll talk about that, and we'll do all that this Friday night with our big production and be singing about it and Little Drummer Boy. Let me say this. After the practice last night up here, which was amazing, I was counting all the musicians and all the drummers that were up here, and I don't know, there's 12, 13, 14 people that are going to be part of this production just in the Little Drummer Boy, not to mention the 10, 20, 30 choir that we're going to have. There could be a 40, 50 people up here. And I said, after we were done, Mrs. Rubel, I said, do you guys all know what the story of Little Drummer Boy is about? The story of Little Drummer Boy is he's a poor young child that all he has is this drum. And Jesus' mother Mary nodded and said, that's good enough. So I want to let you know today, it ain't about how much stuff you have. It's about if you have Jesus in your heart. And if you'll use whatever God has given you to the fullest extent, he'll bless you and continue to bless you. So that brings me to the second part of this message here. So God sent his son, and why did he leave there? I have no idea. But I guess he loved me and he loved you so much that he sent his son, Jesus, to be born, and 33 years later, die on the cross. Because he wants to redeem, he wants to refurbish, he wants to redo, restart, re-meaning fresh, anew. A children that are lost. He's trying to get his kids back in the garden. Say that with me, back in the garden. See, under here in verse 5, Mark, he says to redeem those who are under the law. Under the law, so that we might receive adoptions as sons. You know, the highest honor of all is to be adopted by some parents. You didn't hear me, you would have said something then. That's when parents come into the adoption agency and they choose you. They choose you. That's the highest honor. They choose you to be in the family. And I think the third world countries get it a lot easier than the Western world does. You know, because, you know, biological kids feel like they got the upper hand sometimes in some of the snooty, snooty families. You ever seen snooty families? They really think they all got it going on, and their kids. And you ever look at me for a second? I don't know if you guys are, but the moms or the dads go, I could never love a child the way I love this child. It's always the first one. Oh, we love this one. There's no way we could ever love anybody more than we love little Johnny. Well, you know about Johnny. Until little Jimmy comes along. Little Jimmy, he gets some love too. Then little Susie comes along. By the time little Susie comes along, or maybe they have three or four children. But at the start of it, little Johnny or little Susie, whoever it is, the first child there, they get their babas boiled and their blankies washed and drift and all these wonderful things. Oh, she's a great, we're giving her everything. Car seats that are as big as this stage. How did they get so big? It's like they grew their car seats on steroids. And now it's like the combo. The car seat can be a place where you feed them and you carry them and they snap into a stroller. You can do all kinds of stuff with car seats now. We want to make sure they're safe. That's important. Amen. Second child comes along. We don't boil the bottles anymore. Oh, no, we don't boil them anymore. Third child comes along. We don't care by the third child if they missed a bath. Oh, we're giving them a bath and a temperature. Did you check the temperature? And all the new moms there. Oh, here, check it on my wrist right here. Check it. Third child comes along. We don't worry about boiling the bottles. We don't worry about if the blankies washed anymore. The kids are drug it all over the church. Not even worried about the binky. We finally found it in the van. It's got hair on. We're going to knock on. Give it to them. Care if it's boiled? We're building up their immune system right now. Have you ever... Go ahead. Oh, don't get me started about mom in the minivan. Four food groups are in there for a long time. Fries and chicken McNuggets. Here, give them one of the McNuggets. They're from last week, Mom. I don't care. Give it to them. Amen. I think the milk spoiled in the bottle. Does it smell? Amen. Back to adoption. Being chosen by a mommy and a daddy has got to be the highest honor of all. And that mommy and daddy love that adopted child the same way they love their biological children, the same way God loved his biological son. He loves all the kids that he's trying to adopt. Hold on. You thought you were holier than thou, didn't you? Was you wagging your finger at certain people? Every one of you guys need to be adopted into the kingdom of God. Every one of you. Everybody. Because everybody is born with sin. And I want you to leave here with a fresh perspective today and not get hung up by the way you started this year or what it presented, or maybe even if you look out through the country, some of these people are losing their businesses. But we're going to pray and believe for a fresh perspective and a fresh start. So that's why I'm going to ask you to turn in your Bibles to Philippians chapter 3. And I think the Apostle Paul knew about fresh starts and starting over and restarts and redos and refurbish and recondition, all these things. And he says that in Philippians chapter 3, verse 12. He says, not that I have already obtained this or I am already perfect, but I press on to make me his own. Let me read it again. Not that I have already obtained this, or I am already perfect, but I press on to make it my own, because Christ Jesus has made me his own. Brothers, I do not consider that I have made it my own, but one thing I do. Read this with me. 1, 2, 3, go. Forgetting what lies. You got to forget about the way you started. You have to forget about what was spoken over your life. You have to forget about what status quo was in your marriage. You have to forget about that. Go, I can't keep rehearsing that over and over again. We got to figure out if we're going to forgive the way Jesus has forgiven us. We got to forget it. We got to leave it behind and strain towards the goal of Christ. Amen. Forget about it. The Apostle Paul does a great job about that. And he strains towards the call of God in Christ Jesus. That's how it ends up in verse 14. So that brings me to this. And we're going to park here for just a second. So I embarrassed young Zach last night. And he's sitting in the front row. I asked you to come up here with me now, Zach, and I'm going to stand here with you. And I'll ask you guys to rise with me, if you would. And I'll talk about this a little. Go ahead and shut the house lights off up there. And I'm not sure how we're going to end the service, so you just bear with me here for just a second. I used Zach and his daddy last night, and you can go ahead and cue up that music there, Greg. I used Zach last night. Zach and his dad and his family came to our church some years ago, and he's like so many people that people bring to the church, and then people will tell me, hey, you know, Zach's an atheist, and they'll tell me that, or my brother is here today, Pastor, or my friend's here today, and they're not saved. So they'll do that, and like I need to do something like extra special, or I need to wave a wand over them and forgive them of their sins. I can't do that. I can't do that. I can't forgive sin. I can't make anybody born again either. Zach and his dad and his family said under the word of God. And then one day he was here, he gave his life to Jesus. So that's good news. So I don't know how Zach started his life and his dad. I know his dad. I've known his dad for a while now. And his dad was into some new age, different things like this. And he wouldn't mind me telling you. And then I seen God do something in this young man's life. He told me, he says, I want to be a pastor one day. So just in a short time, God brought Zach not only to the church, but he heard the word. The word got on him. It changed his heart and changed his whole outlook on life from maybe being tainted or saying, I don't believe in God. He was atheist. To want to be preaching the word of God for God. I got to tell you something. You might scratch your head and you might go, how does God do that? Larry, I've been scratching my head the same way. So I'm going to ask you a question that may be the same kind of question I asked Zach. Have you ever asked Jesus into your life? The best Christmas present you could give the Lord is yourself. That's all he's looking at. You don't, hold on, you don't need to give him any money. He's got all the money that you got in your wallet, it's his. I know everybody walking around, he ain't going to run me out of business because I got all the money and I got to. Well, that's good. Here's the deal. Nobody takes all their money or all their stuff with them to heaven. And the only thing that you can bring to heaven with you is your friends. Or not. So when he answered the call to God, he basically answered a calling on his life. And then later, as God was working his heart, he said, Pastor, I want to know if you would sponsor me or write me a letter of recommendation to the college that I'm going to study for, to be a pastor. What an honor. Can you think of how the devil jumping up and down, acting like a little spoiled brat? He said, man, I lost another one. Every time those guys go to that crazy church up there on the hill, somebody gets saved. So what I want you to do right now is I want you to close your eyes and I'm going to ask you a question. How would you like to have a fresh perspective? That's kind of where we're at here today. A fresh perspective, a redo or a restart. And you look up the definition of R-E. And you could tell me right now, you say, you have no idea how bad I screwed this thing up. Or me and my family, or me and my wife, or me and my children. Everybody starts with the same thing. Man, I really blew it. Or this person died, that person died. Man, 2020 has just been a real bad deal. Well, here's the deal. Why not start over? Why not walk out of here and go, you know what, man? I'm doing a redo. So I want hands raised that want to redo with their eyes closed. I want to redo. There they are. We got honest people in the house. And I'm not even going to ask you what your deal is, but when you raise your hand, you're telling God, I finally want to do something about my situation. The first thing what you need to do is ask Jesus to be your Lord and Savior. That's what Christmas is all about. Does the baby king live in your heart? His name's Jesus? Oh, yes, Pastor, I've been saved. I've been born again. I've asked him into my life. The greatest thing I've ever done in my life is to be born again. And I got to be real honest with you, Kenny. I haven't had a bad day since I got saved. Everybody always asks me the same question every day. How you feeling, Pastor? I tell them the same answer. I haven't had a bad day since I've been saved. And you say, well, what do you mean? Put it in perspective. When you think you're living high and mighty on the whatever and you're headed to hell, that's a heck of a bad day. But when you're born again and all you got is Jesus in your heart, you got everything. God can do some crazy great things if you'll give your life to him. He can perform miracles in your life. And maybe ask Zach that after service. Go, man, did God really do that in your life? Did he really change your heart? Did he really change your perspective? Did he really make you born again? And he would say, yes, he did. And I want to serve him all the days of my life. So let me ask you something about this fresh perspective that you raised your hands towards. Can you just kind of mumble it under your breath? You don't need to let anybody else see. Just raise your hand and say, yes, it's my marriage. I want to give it to him. Yes, it's my addiction. Yes, it's my whatever it is. I just want to give it to him, and I want a fresh perspective. I want a new viewpoint. He sees your hands raised. He sees your heart moving. Let's pray over that right now for everybody that's out here. Father God, right now, for all those who need a fresh perspective, Father God, I ask in the name of Jesus that you help them accomplish this new goal, this new fresh perspective through the power of the Holy Spirit, and realize that all the children are here. He loves all of them the same. He loves everybody the same. Everybody needs Jesus. Everybody needs God in their life. And I'm turning my life over to God today, and I'm going to start living for Him. Me and my family. Me and my children. Me and my grandchildren. Me and my wife. Me and my husband. And I pray all this today, Father God, this Christmas. In the mighty name of Jesus, amen.